Good morning, everyone. Are you all well? God has been so wonderful to us this morning and revealed his presence to us. Some detail in respect of what we're doing in the Great Lakes. You know, we've been going in there since 2007. And this opportunity, we gather all the regional leaders. We'll have in leaders from Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Eastern DRC that will be gathering. We've got 45 key leaders. We meet in an area, a place called Lake Kivu, and we'll be meeting for them for a week just to be planning and strategizing that God can just see the gospel increase and the kingdom advance. And then after that, I'm going with Stanley, our good friend who leads the church in Bujumbura, to go back into Burundi. And there's an opportunity. He's taken me to the eastern side of Burundi to a refugee camp that was left after the genocide. The Tutsis that were persecuted, there's still a refugee camp, and he's planted a church into that context, and we're going to be ministering into that on the Saturday and the Sunday in 2 weeks' time. And also we'll be preaching into the churches in Kigali. So pray for us as we go. I go representing you and just trusting God for breakthrough. A lot of broken people, a lot of hard things that have taken place, and we're just trusting God that he would break into that. Anyway, let's pray before we hear what God has to say through his word, and then we're going to just trust God to minister to us. Father, we just thank you that your word is so powerful. It brings life. It reveals our thoughts and our intentions, our attitudes. And I just ask, Lord, in through the preaching of your word today, that, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and our minds today to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So, Lord, will you bless us, and may your anointing rest on the preaching and your anointing rest on the receiving of your word. We trust you with everything today. May your name be glorified, and may you be praised and be found worthy in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just some feedback. I had opportunity this week to go and spend three nights away with the Lord, and thank you for giving me that opportunity just to hear God. My role is, at times, you know, when trying to hear God, it's not always easy, but it was just so wonderful to be away, and some of this fruit of being away is this sermon here today. But firstly, before we get into the sermon of today, I just sense to encourage you, the scripture from Matthew 21, verse 20 to 22, Jesus is talking about how he cursed the fig tree and the principle of faith and application of faith. But the end of that statement, he says, whatever you ask for will be taken up, like he says, say to this mountain, it'll be thrown into the sea. But verse 22 just struck me, and I come to encourage you with it. It said, but whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive. And the ESV version puts at the end, if you have faith. And I come to encourage you is that so often we walk our Christian walk with the Lord, and we do the things that we need to do, and you know, we are programmed to live life, but we forget to pray. And I come to challenge you and to encourage you, prayer needs some thought. Prayer is not a ritual that we practice. We are talking to our God, our Heavenly Father, who is an intelligent being, is the Most High God, and expects us to think. He's given us a mind, the ability to have the mind of Christ. And I'm asking you today, in your prayer life, to change gears. Don't let it become a rote exercise and a religious exercise, but rather something where faith is actually exercised. And you know, sometimes we come into the presence of God, we praise and we worship him, and sometimes we just come with these nebulous prayers, and we do it every day, and I'm included. But sometimes we just give thought to what we're asking for. And when we put thought behind that thing, faith starts to get exercised. And you know, God wants to answer our prayers. He's listening intently. He's the Lord that answers our prayers. And you know, you don't need those that are pastors and shepherds in the life of the church to pray. Yes, they can pray for you, but actually you have direct access to God yourself. And sometimes you need to be making concerted effort. And yes, we need to share the burden with one another and we need to intercede. But are you praying? Are you speaking to your God, and are you coming before him with faith and believing him when you're asking him? You know, we all have matters to deal with. It's our family, it's our work environment. You know, the Lord says, do not worry. But we need to bring the access that we have to God is to pray. And our Father not only hears us, but He answers us. We need to be practicing answered prayer. And that's the testimonies that we need to have and come and say, you know, folk, I prayed this and this, and God answered me. And your Father is not deaf. And your Father is willing, and He wants to answer your prayers. So I'm asking you, you know, we are very good to plan our lives. And we get to-do lists, and we write out the to-do list, and we accomplish those things. Can't we do that in our prayer life? Every day and say, Lord, this is on my heart, what's on your heart, and pray into that. It mustn't become a business ritual, but it must become an aspect of a reality. Jesus prayed. He knew the importance of prayer. He knew that he had to go and spend time with the Father to go and pray. I'm telling you now, if Jesus needed to pray, so do you. And you need to practice the discipline of prayer. And I'm asking you to gird up your minds and start to think when you pray. And then when you start to think and believe in your heart, and then God will come through in dimensions I really believe that we've never understood in our lives. So as we get to the sermon this morning, the title of the message is Living for Eternity. Living for Eternity. You know, we had opportunity yesterday. I was a scout, and the scout group that I belonged to was First Germiston in Germiston, and they celebrated their 110th anniversary yesterday. So I went along, and Nikki and I, and it was good to see all the old faces and stuff there. And just the longevity that they've been around for 110 years. Most people haven't even lived that time. And why was that? Why did that continue? But I just thought that is so finite, 110 years, where God has given us eternity. And I come to encourage you today, not to put you down, but I'm trusting that God will change your thinking today. Because I think there's a perspective that we've grown up in the world, and the world teaches us a way and a pattern to think, and God's got to undo that and renew our minds and get us a new perspective. And so often, as we grow up in this world, there's responsibilities that we have, and especially as you start life, you've got to, the right place to go to school, and once out of school, there's a vocation that you want to go and fulfill, and then it's finding your lifetime partner, and then finding the home that you need, and all these practical things of outliving, and then the insurance world has come, which I don't think is necessarily wrong. They come and they tell you about retirement, and are you planning for your retirement? And my late dad used to say to me when I was 21, you better have a retirement annuity. And I listened to him, and I thank God I listened to him and put a retirement, started to pay into retirement annuity for retirement. That's all good. But I want to tell you, God's perspective is not about that. Most of the world starts life and they plan for their retirement. God doesn't want that. He wants us to be wise and to plan for our elder years and to put money aside and that we are secure in that, but yet we mustn't look at that. We must trust Him in all those things. God wants us to start life in Him and plan for eternity. You know, when we first started this church, and I remember Arthur and I were talking, I said, Arthur, you know what? I think we need to plan for 50 years for this church. I was wrong. We need to plan for eternity. It's not good enough because God has put eternity in our hearts. God Himself is eternal, and we need to ensure that we do that. You know, the world in the business world tells us, you know, they get their strategic planning together, and they plan the five-year plan, and then they bring it down to the one-year plan, and it becomes a physical budget, and they measure against that budget. And you know, that's good, and we need to be disciplined in those things. But you know what? We need to be looking deeper and further in that. And I'm going to encourage you today, how do we actually plan for eternity? I love the channel on, we haven't got much DSTV, we've got the small version, but the home channel, and I love the channel where they do all these renovations for this home, their homes and that. And the other week, there was a couple, it was based in Canada, and they had a lot of money, and they wanted to buy a home in downtown Toronto. And they went in and they spent all this money and they built this incredible home. And I looked with sadness, this beautiful home that was prepared from through this renovation, that the whole emphasis of their life was this home. And yes, it was beautiful, and the finishes were incredible, and the design was really well thought out. But I thought, you know, this is riches on earth. And you know, God says, where's your treasure? For where your treasure will be, where your heart is. And I come to encourage you today is that we need to live on earth, but we need to have our hearts in heaven. We've got to have our hearts in heaven. I say that again. We've got to live on earth, but our hearts are going to be in heaven, because this earth is not your home. This is temporal. All that we see here will fade away. You know, I grew up in Germiston, and in those years in Germiston was a wonderful town. And I remember going down the main drag, President Street, and it used to be the post office and the police station. It was the library. It was so vibey, I remember, as a young boy. But a few months ago, I drove down that city. It is dilapidated. It is awful. And that in my heart just stirred me to say is that things in life are temporary. Are so temporary, and we cannot put our hope in the things here on earth. We got to put our things in the eternal things, and we know that our God is eternal. So the theme today is living for eternity, and I use the scripture as a text in John chapter 3, verse 16. This is the promise of salvation, but the promise is a depth. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We have received eternal life when we've believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And are we living eternal life? We don't wait to move from this world when our body dies and go into heaven. Then we start to live eternal life. Life eternal needs to be now. And our attitudes need to change. And we need to comprehend from that perspective, because it will change the way you think. It'll be the way that it'll change the way that we deal with the affairs of our lives, the work that we're doing, we're dealing with our children and all those things. You know, can I say education for me is very, very important. But I think we've got skewed in South Africa. Everything is education. That's wrong. It can't be. It's got to be God and the balance of that. There's so much more than just education, because so many people are landing in so well educated, and what happens? There's no reality to life. And I think as we as Christians, we've got to be very careful and ensure that we get this balance to life. I was listening to a documentary on YouTube, and this guy was actually talking about revival that was taking place in South America. And I don't know the exact area, but the church since 1996 has grown by 300,000 people. That's phenomenal that the church has actually grown. And he was talking to them, and in their broken English, they were talking to him and said to him, you know the problem with you Americans and us Westerners? He says, you planned for 70, 80 years. God revealed to us we need to start planning for eternity. And soon as they started to instill that in the life of believers and people that didn't know God, there was an explosion of the Holy Spirit. Because people started to see the reality of what they've been involved with. Most people don't have eternity in their hearts. It's all about the temporal. And I'm telling you, I believe God is challenging myself and challenging you. We got to change our modus operandi, the way we operate and see things from a heavenly perspective. So my first point in trying to get through, I've got some introduction to put this all into perspective, is dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. And I have 5 points that go with this. In Romans chapter 14, verse 10, it says, but why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In Romans 14, verse 12 says, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Every one of us. You will not be standing with your spouse or your family. You individually, as you were born as an individual, you came out of your mother's womb, you're brought into this earth. When you stand before God, you will stand alone before him. That is a scary, scary thought. You have no one to be a crutch to on that day. You can't say, my father made me do this, or this something happened there, you will stand alone and you'll be accountable before God. But I do believe when it comes to believers, it's going to be very different. We're not going to be like the unbelievers. God is going to judge us very differently. God is going to judge us for what we did in the body and as we represented him. I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we all must stand before Christ to be judged, for we each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body." We have a responsibility before God, and he will bring us to that place, and he will judge us. You know, I do believe there's an error in the church, and many people, in a sense, want to qualify themselves for heaven, and they want to be born again. Why? Because their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they've received their salvation, and they're going to heaven. Fact. You're going to heaven if you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Fact. But are you going to receive reward from him? I don't know. Because so often many people think, well, I'm saved, and now I can just get on with my life and do what I want. No. No. As Christians, we have a responsibility to work out our salvation in God. And there's going to be this judgment that we're going to have is going to be for reward. And I'll get into that a bit later. Unbelievers are going to be going to the great white throne of judgment, and that's in Revelation, is where everyone will be resurrected. And there'll be a judgment the end of day for those who know God or don't know God. And I just want to just read through, just give you some overview of the end times judgment. Jesus will return to this earth with his armies of heaven. He will conquer the Antichrist. He will throw Satan into prison and then set up his rule in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Afterwards, Satan will be released from the bottomless pit and permitted to deceive the nations for a short time. The fire from heaven will consume them, and the devil will be hurled into the lake of fire for eternity. Then the ungodly and the unbelievers will be raised from Hades to stand before the great white throne of God. This is called the resurrection of condemnation. In Revelation 20, verse 11, I saw a great white throne. And in verse 15, it says, yeah, if anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, you'll be thrown into the lake of fire. That is why we preach the gospel. Because we don't want anyone to go and be condemned into the lake of fire. Eternity, 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 I cannot explain to you. But it's forever. It's forever. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I even say that with love and gentleness today, if your name, you know that your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life today, please come and speak to someone today to make sure that you have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are not destined to hell. We need to make sure of that. The next one is the believer's judgment. The believer's judgment will occur long before the great white throne judgment. The scripture doesn't give us a clear indication when it will take place. But ever we know it will take some time after the church has been caught away to the clouds. And we know that as the rapture of the church before the 1,000-year reign of Christ commences. And there's roughly 1,000 years that will separate the two major judgments, the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. But I want to just say the judgment seat of Christ. In John chapter 5, verse 22, "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. See, Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, but on that day he will be our judge." He is loving, he's kind, but that day he will judge, and his decisions will be final. And we have one chance of earth, one chance to get to that judgment seat that we are fully prepared. And I want to just say, as people prepare for retirement, we need to prepare for eternity when we're going to meet our Lord and stand before him, that you will have to your credit all the things that he's told you to do, and that you would stand there and that your reward will be great. I don't want any of you to miss out on your reward that God has got for you. Because I believe our God wants to reward us. And it says he has rewarded us, but there's a reward that's coming at the judgment seat of Christ that I cannot stand accountable for you. I've got to do what God's called me to do, and you've got to do what God's called you to do. And it's not just preaching, it's actually living life and all that he's told you to do in your life. And I want your reward to be great. I want you to stand there and rejoice and say, I've done everything. And I want you to stand before your Lord one day, and he looks upon you, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. I want that for every one of you. And that's what I come to encourage you today, is that we've got to gear ourselves to get to that place that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your heart is pure, that you're doing everything that God has called you to do. And this takes refinement because, you know, we get caught up in a world that will try and take us away from our inheritance. The devil's coming to try and take away that he can sideline you and get you to stray. I don't want you to stray. I want you to find that place that when you stand before that throne of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, not to be condemned, but to receive your reward. See, there's eternal decisions. Judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will judge for what has taken place in our lives. And we've got to think about what we've done on earth is so important for eternity. You see, our life on earth is, in James chapter 4, verse 14, is like a passing vapor. It's such a short time, if you can call it time, in reference to eternity. It's actually so small, but this determines how you're going to live eternity. I don't know all the details of what eternity is going to involve, but what you produce here is going to determine how you're going to live there. You know, the scripture says that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I believe God wants us to rule and reign in heaven, in the new earth and the new heaven that is to come. I don't know the details of that, but I'm telling you now, the way we live our lives here for him and do what he tells us to do will determine how we're going to live on the other side. I don't know the details there, but the scripture tells us to be prepared for that. And I want you to be with me, and I'm trusting for you and my family and for myself that our reward will be great. As we're together in our personal lives, because there's a reward in your personal life and there's a reward for his church. That's why it's important that you need to know what church God has called you to be part of. You can't be running around from church to church. You need to be where the Lord has told you to be. You're committed to that, and you get sold out for what God's called you to do in that. And when you do that, you're part of the reward that will come to the church. Because I don't know how God balances, he scales, but he balances the thing. Our reward, not your individual, our reward as a church, we will share together as we work and we labor together in what God has called us to do. This concept of eternity is incredible. I don't know if you understand a bit of the maths. Anything divided by infinity is zero. Anything. So your life, whether it's 80 or even 120, if the Lord gets you to go to 120, is zero in the meaning of eternity. But God says the importance of this life here impacts for eternity. And I think this is the sobering thing is that as we start to understand our lives and understand the reality, we need to adjust our lives. So I'm asking you the question, how will you live for eternity in his kingdom? And I say to you today, it will be determined the way you live here as a believer on earth. See, Paul knew this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. I read from the NLT. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear after preaching to others, I myself be disqualified. Paul says to us here, we need to live our lives now to win the prize that will never fade away. And I want to encourage you here that we are running a race. We are running a race as we follow in Jesus. And run this race with tenacity, with self-control, single-mindedness, but run to win. My dear friend Franco always says we need to live a victorious life. And I want to say to you, victorious life is to win the prize. We might have different races that we're running, but we must win the prize. And I also want to encourage you is that we're not competing against one another. We're working together. That's the wonderful thing about the body of Christ. We work together with all our roles. And I want to encourage you, you are so different to me, and thank God. You're not like me, but you must run the race that God has given to you with the personality type, with the gifting that He's given you, and the call He's placed upon your life. Will you rise up and do everything that He tells you to do? You know, Noel's an electrician. Noel, you're not a preacher. God never called you to be a preacher, but you are to preach the gospel. But in the role that He's given you to do that, I encourage you, preach to those people that you come across. But I'm not an electrician. I'm not called to be that. Every one of us has a different station in life, and our sphere of influence is different. So know what God has called you to do and be at peace with that. Be at peace with that. And then fulfill with everything that God's called you to do. If you're a housewife, that is a most honorable role if God has called you to do that. That's not secondary. And I know the world today, because of the financial difficulty, most women, wives, are landing up in the workplace to meet the financial needs. Not wrong, but we need to find our role, what God has called us to do. And I'm telling you, God's scales are equal. And if God has put you in a very senior position, He'll give you the grace for that. He's put you in a seemingly lowly position, He'll give you the grace for that. And go and fulfill what He's called you to do. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9 says, so make it your goal to please Him, whether at home in the body or away from Him. And out of that, you see, living to live in this eternity, please Him in all that you do. The next point, there's a wide range of rewards. They differ and they span a wide range, but the Bible tells us that your rewards can be burnt up, or you can be there with Him, reigning in Christ for eternity. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 15, if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through flames. And I'll get into that a bit further. How do we build for eternity? And I read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 to 15 in entirety, and then we're going to explain it. 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 9, verses 9 to 15. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. We are to work together with God, and He is building, and we need to be building with Him. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. And if he's burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Some learned theologians have been postulating is that there's a doctrine that hasn't been put out, but it's called the doctrine of inheritance. And it goes according to this portion of Scripture, is that we live life to have a reward. And I want to encourage you, I really do believe that. So firstly, the Scripture says is that if we live just in the natural, in the temporal, we will produce with wood, hay, and straw. And nothing wrong building with that, but when the fire comes, the fire of God that will test how we have built, it will be burnt away. So we got to ensure how we build in God's house, that we don't build with wood, hay, and straw, but rather we need to be building, as those that are spiritual, with gold, silver, and costly stones, that when the fire of God comes, it will remain. And that's how you and I have got to build. And you've got to ask the question, and I can't ask you the question, is how are you building? How are you building your life? And I want to just say is that we've got to be building according to God's pattern and God's ways, and through His Word, as the Word revealed to us, we've got to be building according to what God is telling us to do. We cannot build according to man's theology or man's thinking. We can't use the thinking of the day that the modern theologians are telling us to do, or what modern thinking's coming. We've got to build according to God's pattern, because then we will be building with gold, silver, and costly stones. Because when the fire of God comes, then the freedom and the light and the reward comes to every one of us. You see, the Word of God is so important to us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." We need God's Word. God's Word to reveal to us that we can build correctly. And this is where the precious Holy Spirit comes, and He comes and teaches us that we will build well. And as you spend time with God and you spend through the Scriptures and allow Him to reveal through the Scriptures what He wants you to do, you'll be absolutely amazed. You will build well. And you've got to build according to how He's telling you to build. And you can't walk with condemnation, but you need to be taking up. If God is telling you today and He shows you a scripture on humility, live it out. Live it out till it becomes a lifestyle. That's why we're going to meditate. You know, we're not here to gain knowledge, even though we need to have knowledge. We need to gain understanding of God's way, and it's got to become a reality because of what Christ has done in us. And the perfection of God's Word is going to become a reality that we build correctly. And I come here to encourage you, please build correctly with gold, silver, and costly stones, which is God's Word. And I cannot, yes, God uses me, but I cannot reveal to you specifically. You have got to walk this out personally with the living God. God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit will reveal these wonderful things to you. I don't know what station you're at. You might be at a time now where you're rejoicing. You might be in a time where things are good. But you might be in a time now where you're absolutely depressed. You might be in a time where you have no hope and you cannot see a future and nothing seems to come getting you there. I'm telling you, trust God and His Word and the Holy Spirit, and He will reveal the way before you, and you will get out of that situation if you're in difficulty. And even if you're rejoicing, God will take you higher. Get back to the Word and by the Holy Spirit, and He'll begin to show you and reveal these things to you. You see, the Word of God, as we preached last week, comes and deals with the flesh. We spoke about Sarx, that snake that wants to dwell within our bodies and tries to destroy us. That thing has got to be dealt with, and that's when we take God's Word and we start to live by God's Word and start to apply it to our lives. We put down the flesh and we start to live in the realm of the Spirit. We are called to walk in the Spirit. And when you start to walk in the Spirit, that's when you start to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And God looks at our fruitfulness and what we produced in Him. And that's where the reward will come. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. We've got to be hearing God. The sheep know His voice, and God is speaking to us, and we need to be hearing what He's saying to us and doing exactly what He tells us to do. I was so encouraged by the prayer meeting that we had on Friday night here. Again, Franco just encouraged, he said in front of all of us, you know, guys, and Franco's walked for many years with the Lord. He says, I only want to do exactly what God tells me to do. Exactly, use those words, exactly. Not just fringe and whatever, exactly. And I think God's voice is so clear that He can tell you exactly what to do. And He can lead you. And we all need to be in that place because these are perilous times. And the Lord's return is near. And maybe the rapture's down the road, I don't know. And when the rapture's happened, our work on earth is over. Do you believe in the rapture? Do you believe the church will be taken away? We live in perilous times. Have you looked at the news? Have you seen what's actually happening? We're not playing games anymore. These are the times, the last days. I don't know when He's coming back or when He's going to rapture us, but these are serious times. You cannot live like you used to. You've got to change your modus operandi. You've got to live for eternity. You can't be living for the now. Yes, God provides for our needs on a daily basis. But people, children of God, live for eternity. That your reward will be in heaven where your treasure is. And what you do on earth, you will get that reward in heaven. Preparing for our eternal future. I'll read from the Message, that scripture again, from 1 Corinthians 3, from verse 12. Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there will be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get away with anything. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out and started over, but you won't be torn out, you will survive, just barely. So the scripture says is that you will not lose your salvation. You will make heaven, but your reward that was supposed to be credited to you will be taken away. Now maybe I'm stepping on dangerous ground here now. Maybe not everyone's going to get a mansion in heaven. I'm not saying to you here because you are the faithful, but those that are out there that have confessed Jesus as Lord and continue to live their lives now and not serving God, they're going to get to heaven. I really believe that. But are they going to get the reward? And we are here to come with that message and say to them, come on, get your life sorted out and get right with God and start to serve Him. Because this is something so important, because who told you that your life on earth was so important that it has eternal rewards? No one tells you that. Just live your life and retire and have enough money, and then when you die, you'll meet God and it's fine. There's a judgment seat of Christ for us, and He wants to judge us for the good and the evil or the bad that we've done in the body. So I'll come to encourage you today. God wants to put that wonderful acclamation over you. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, and I'll put you in charge of many things. Come share in your master's happiness, from Matthew 25, verse 21. That's for all of us. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. Don't just plan for your retirement. Plan for your retirement, but don't just plan for your retirement. Make sure you're living in all that the Lord has called you to do. You know, Jesus gave us that wonderful parable about the wise and foolish virgins. And there were five that had oil in their lamps, and there were five that didn't. And they were messing around. And when Jesus came, or the bridegroom came to fetch them, as the Jewish weddings were, the bridegroom went away until he prepared a home. And then he would come and fetch the bride and then take her home. But the five foolish ones didn't have oil in their lamps. And then Jesus came and went, and they were left behind. I want to just say, we just got to ensure that we have our lives in the right place, that we're doing all that God has called you to do. You know, I don't want to get into it today, but the link to this whole thing is calling, and I will preach into it. We are all called, but few are chosen. Now, the chosen is not God's doing, it's our doing. God's called everyone, but what we choose to do with what He's called us is different. Now, you might be here today and know that you are called, but you're not walking in the chosen path or chosen correctly to do what God's called you to do. I cannot tell you whether you're right and wrong, but maybe, you know, it's the day to do an adjustment in your life. And I use the old army analogy when we went on the parade ground. And you used to come up and you were out of order. And then you had to come together and you had to put your arm out like that. And you had to look to the right. And maybe my instruction was wrong, but the Afrikaans saying was, "Ruk reg." And then you put yourself and you got into order and you shuffled. And you got into line. And then you put your arm down again. And you got up to your attention and you were in order. Maybe church, "Ruk reg." "Ruk reg." Pardon? Ja, corporal. Ex-leutnant, eh? Let's get our lives in order. Let's plan for eternity. Let's live for eternity. And may we get on the other side when we stand, once we've gone through the judgment seat of Christ, and we stand, and I'm watching you. And I hear that, because we're going to be in that audience. We're going to see, and I hear the Lord say to you, well done, good and faithful servant, and you rush past that judgment, and we grab one another, and we rejoice, we've done it, Lord, we've won the prize. I want that for all of you. Don't miss out on your inheritance, your reward in Christ. You've got your salvation, but don't miss your reward. You go back to the Lord. You ask the dear Holy Spirit, Lord, where am I? What am I doing with my life? Am I fulfilling all that you've called me to do? And then do what God is telling you to do. And don't forget the church, because your church is part of your inheritance. We're a family, and we do things together, and we have a great commission to fulfill. We've got to love God. We've got to worship God, and we do these things together. It's a privilege. Rukrach. Rukrach. Bring yourself to order. Come to attention, and let's do what the Lord has for us. I hope you've been challenged today. I was challenged preparing this, and I want to change my life. Yeah, we all love the Lord, but do we do exactly what He tells us to do? There's a seriousness to this whole thing. God is coming back for a mature church. He wants a mature church without spot and wrinkle, loving Him, pleasing Him in all that He does, not perfect in what we think we should be, and not what the world paints the picture that we'd be, but we in our hearts, Lord, we love you. We're doing everything that you've called us to do. We have a freedom in this, and we're doing this together. And then I say again, I'm going to be standing at the judgment seat. Hear my words today. I'm going to be watching every one of you when you go through that judgment seat, Lord. Maybe some before me, I don't know. But I want to rejoice with you that you get your reward. I want a mansion, don't you? I want a kingdom to rule. And I'm not being greedy, because our Father promised that for us. But that's in eternity and in heaven. And I want every one of you to be there. I don't want you to lose out on that thing. And I don't want, you know, for me, maybe I'm wrong now. That's where the tears might be in heaven. You saved, but you lost your inheritance. Only God can wipe those tears away, but the eternity of the thing is you cannot go back to earth and change what you did on earth to make eternity be impacted. You've only got this time. And if you're not in the right place, Lord, forgive me, get me right. And God doesn't judge from the timing point of view. Doesn't matter when you come to work for Him. If your heart is right, the reward is there for eternity. It's not how long you've been serving the Lord. If you read the Lord's parable about that, when the workers came, some worked from the morning to the evening and got the same as those who came an hour before. But if we make right with the Lord, you will not be in that place. Your reward will be made because you've built with gold, silver, and costly stones. Let's build well together. Let's work together. We have a job to do, but we have a great reward ahead of us. I'm trained as an accountant. And there was a principle that came out of the business training was maximize profit. Not a bad principle, depends how you do it. The church should be maximizing reward. We cannot get the least when we get there. I think, what a waste. What a waste of a life that you get the least when you get to heaven, to the judgment seat of Christ. Why did He call you out of the world? To give you the least? No. He wants to give you the most. And we don't have it here on earth because this is not our home. But we're going to get it in heaven. Live your life for eternity. And don't just barely get there. Get there and get the great reward that God has got for you. Amen. Can I pray with you? Father, I'm challenged. We have one life to live on earth, because your scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But Lord, we realize that we've received your salvation, but now we've got to live this life, that Lord, we build well, and that Lord, that we'll do everything that you've called us to do, and that we would receive this great reward. But Father, we come before you with humble hearts and surrender to you. That, Lord, we want to live a called life. We want to live a life that pleases you. And we want to do exactly what you tell us to do. And Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Will you show us the way to follow Christ? Will you reveal his perfect will to us? That, Lord, that we can please you in all that we do. And as we surrender to you, will you take us all by the hand? Will you gently encourage us? Will you open up our minds, not in condemnation, but in repentance that brings us to life and to find this fullness that you have for us? And Father, I want to make a request today that everyone that you've called to be part of Church on the Way that is standing here today with us, Father, can I ask that our reward will be great, that we share together in as we work together to bring glory to your name and please you in all that you've called us to do? Will you stir our hearts, and maybe we're not in the right place today, but will you stir every heart, Lord, to seek first you and your kingdom, and out of that, Lord, to see that that day when you judge, we will stand together rejoicing because we've received what you've called us to receive. So, Lord, bless your people. May there be no condemnation according to this word, but may there be a stirring in their hearts in this week as they go away and ponder on these things and reevaluate their goals and how they live their lives and how they work with their families and work with their business colleagues and run their businesses. May eternity be in their hearts, Father. May eternity be in their thinking, and may this adjustment be a reality not just for now but forever, Lord. Stir us, Holy Spirit, to live for eternity, to live for you, that, Lord, you'll be glorified and pleased with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you do not have the assurance in your heart that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, please make sure you come and talk to us afterwards. We love to pray with you that you'd have that assurance that you know that you are saved, as the Bible calls us. Then also that we can trust God to give you the enabling, his Holy Spirit. If you know that you cannot do in your own strength, that you want to be filled with God the Holy Spirit, not as a crutch, but to enable you to get the greatest reward, God the Holy Spirit wants to come, sent by Jesus, to enable you to get the great reward that is due to you. Amen. God bless you all. So wonderful to see you today. If you're a visitor with us, so wonderful having you with us. Please join us for a cup of coffee afterwards, a cappuccino there. And everyone, don't rush off. Come and fellowship. We're a family together. God bless you all. Amen. Thank you.